Now let's get to the good stuff, shall we? Now that we've laid out the problem, let's go to the solution. Now that we've seen what the world has arrayed against us, let's look at what our Father has done for us. When this hostility comes, when we are rejected for the sake of Christ.
Thanks for being with us on the Truth Pulpit with Don Green, founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. Hello, I'm Bill Wright, and we're in the midst of a series titled A Satellite View of the Truth Pulpit. And we'll be concluding Don's message, Spiritual Victory in a Hostile World. Last time, Don laid out the problems we face as Christians in this world. We face hatred, deception, and temptation. Today, Don will highlight God's provision for believers in the midst of it all. Have your Bible open to 1 John as we join our teacher now in the Truth Pulpit.
Why does John have to command us, don't love this world, except that we're tempted to do so? We're tempted by its sensualities. We're tempted by the spirit of the age. We're tempted by its philosophies that would flatter us with our self-worth and things of that kind of nature. This world appeals to our sinful desires. It is filled with arrogance and tries to make us of like spirit. Brethren, these things ought not to be. Apostle Paul said to correct those who are in opposition with the spirit of gentleness, if perhaps God would grant them repentance that leads to life, 2 Timothy chapter 2. And so it's not simply the sensuality of the world, but it's the appeal to pride. It's the appeal to greed. It's the appeal to boastful pride and to desiring more than God has given you with the lust of the eyes, and on it goes. You see, beloved, why is that a problem with this world for us? Is that those enticements would draw us away from the pursuit of holiness. Those enticements, if we pursued them, would sully our testimony with sin, would pollute our nature, would pollute our lives with sinful matters, the very things which Christ died to deliver us from. And for some, the world just brings you into a spirit of apathy and indifference, as if these things don't matter and aren't worth living for, aren't worth stepping forward and asserting yourself for, and leading your friends and leading your families and just shrinking back into a spirit of passivity in the face of it all. That's part of the world environment. That's not from Christ. That's not from the Holy Spirit that people fall into that. And so we realize just how pervasive and how many places there are for us to trip and fall in the midst of this world. Its hatred could discourage us and make us downcast. The deception could lead us away to untruth when God specifically commands that we are to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We can't offer God true worship when our minds are driven by falsehood. And the temptations that would lead us away from holiness. Here's what I want you to see, beloved, just in that quick overview. This world is filled with real threats to your spiritual well-being. Every one of those things could be a spiritual missile on your heart to explode and drive you into discouragement, despair, or sin. These threats are real. They are often subtle. And we know by sad experience, don't they, that sometimes they're successful in bringing us down. How can we overcome them? When it is so pervasive that we're walking through, we're like a mammal trying to live in the middle of the ocean. We're meant for dry land, but here we are. We find ourselves in the middle of an ocean. We're not fish, but we're in an environment that calls us to be fish, so to speak. How can we overcome that when it seems like so much is stacked against us spiritually? Now let's get to the good stuff, shall we? Now that we've laid out the problem, let's go to the solution. Now that we've seen what the world has arrayed against us, let's look at what our Father has done for us. Point number two, let's look at the provision of the Father. The provision of the Father. That's point number two, and we're going to approach this in a threefold parallel way to what we said before. And I'm delighted to be able to share these things with you. As great as the hostility of the world is, as great as the problem in the world is, beloved, hey, mark this down. Plan on underlining this in your notes. Put a big star by it. Those of you that are inclined in a feminine way, put a little couple of hearts by what I'm about to say. I really loved this part. That's fine. Those of you that are more masculine and, you know, you work construction, you put a sword, draw a sword by it. But get this fundamental point that we will unpack from John's letter. Despite everything that the world has arrayed against us, God has provided for you everything that you need to overcome it all. You already have as a Christian. It has already been given to you everything that is necessary to defeat the world, to be victorious over the world at every point of its opposition. No question about it. And it is the birthright of every Christian to know and to live in the light of these things. It is the prerogative of every true born again man or woman, boy or girl. It is their prerogative to go to these things, to go to Christ and find the provision that He has supplied. Not through a human mediator, through Christ Himself, through the Word that He has given. You have everything you need in Christ to overcome all of those massive obstacles that the world presents against your spiritual well-being. Let's unpack that real quickly here. First of all, we saw that the world hates us, right? Nobody likes to be hated, or at least most of us don't. The world hates us. You know what? That's okay. That's okay. You know why that's okay? It's okay because, here's your first subpoint, our God loves us. Our God loves us. Go back to 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. I promised you we'd come back here. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. He says, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called children of God, and such we are." Chapter 4, verse 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love." And how do we know He loves us? What is it that settles His love in our hearts and makes that a settled aspect of our spiritual experience? Verse 9. "By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Verse 19, "We love because He first loved us." Do you see it, beloved? Do you see it? This world is temporary and it is passing away. The God who reigns over the universe, the God who will judge the world, who will judge everyone who has ever lived, the God who is supreme, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, sovereign over all, that God has bestowed His love upon you. And He did it in a way that shows the depth and the purity, the sincerity, the height and breadth and width of that love when God Himself took on the form of a man and our Lord Jesus went to the cross to pay the debt of our sins, to turn away the wrath of God. That's what propitiation means. All of the rightful judgment that God had rightly arrayed against you, Christ intervened so that you could be excused from it all, clothed in His righteousness, and brought into, as 1 John 3:1 says, His family. his family. Do you find that your family rejects you? Have your friends despised you and forsaken you? Is life difficult within the four walls of your own home, my Christian friend, my Christian brother, my Christian sister? Is it lonely and isolating for you to follow Christ? Ah, beloved, don't you see? Don't you see the sweetness of belonging to a God like that, a holy God who set his love upon you? There is an ocean of blessing for you in which to swim. There is an ocean of encouragement, an inexhaustible source of wonder and glory to satisfy the deepest longings of your soul. Yes, my spouse may be hostile to me. Yes, I may be alone. Yes, my friends may have all walked away because of my testimony to Christ, because of my love and devotion to him. But you know what? I say this reverently, and I say it in sympathy to those of you that are experiencing that and the loneliness that that brings. But hear me carefully in what I'm about to say. Let them go as long as I have Jesus. Let them go as long as I have Christ. Because in Christ I have the greatest love of them all. In Christ I am loved by the one who ultimately and finally is the only one who matters. And he has loved me and set his love on me. He loved my soul enough to go to Calvary to rescue and redeem it from its sin. I have in Christ all that I need to satisfy all of the longings that I have to be loved, to be cared for, and to be accepted. That's what Christ is to us as believers. And when you have the greatest love, you can start to accept and come to grips with the fact that perhaps you don't have the lesser loves on a human level that you might prefer. Because this love is greater than all. This love is a divine love. This love is an eternal love. And the lonely human heart that is in Christ can go to his Father through the Lord Jesus Christ and find a complete acceptance, a complete love, a perfect love that will never go away. Heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus said. My words won't pass away. If he's called you his, if he's called you beloved, you're his forever. That can't change. There's your source of joy. This is the provision that overcomes the hatred of the world. This is the love that compensates for all of the sorrow and rejection of your past. This is the love that makes up for human loss and death. This is the love that quenches the thirst of the Christian soul. I ask you, beloved, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that precious? Isn't that good news? That's what our Father has done for us. He loves us, and he loved us in Christ. When adversity comes, when sorrows weigh down your heart, and I've been there, especially in the past, God, how is this your love? Beloved, you run to the cross of Christ. You look at that loving Savior who left his glory above to come to earth to do exactly that for exactly you, to give a sacrifice that is perfectly measured to all of your sins, to wipe them away so that God will never hold them against you again. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our sins from us, when you're struggling with feeling loved, you go to the cross and you see the issue of love settled for your soul for all time. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us in Christ. So, what about false teachers? What about this deception that the world brings to us? Well, you know what? God's provided for that need as well, because God gives us discernment. God gives us discernment. Yeah, the false teachers try to deceive us, but God has made provision for that. First of all, look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. 1 John 2, verse 27. In a reference to the Holy Spirit, John says this, the anointing which you received from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him. Now, there's a lot wrapped up in that verse. And John is not saying that we have no need for human Bible teachers. He's not saying that. He's not saying every person can just go off by themselves and live the Christian life. If we didn't need teachers, don't you see that John wouldn't have needed to write this letter himself? So that's not what that means. What he's saying is that you have the Holy Spirit within you to give you illumination, to illuminate your mind, to help you with understanding as you pursue truth. And when he says that you have no need for anyone to teach you, what he's saying is you don't need someone to come to you and offer to you things outside of Scripture, to offer you promises of things that go beyond what God has already provided, as if that is something that you needed in order to really live a successful Christian life. That's what he's saying. The main point for now, for what we want to see, is that God has put his Holy Spirit within us to help us. He abides in us. We have a supernatural resident within our soul to help us with discernment, with understanding, to overcome the deception that is all about us. And not only that, John points out the fact that God has given his word to us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 6, look at this. 1 John 4, verse 6, we are from God. When he says we, he's referring to the apostles, the apostolic circle. If you want to explore that more, go back to the 1 John 4 messages that are archived on our website. For now, we are from God, the apostles. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. What he's saying here is that we, the apostolic circle, we are from God. And God has revealed his truth for the church in this New Testament era through us. And he says the ones who are truly from God, they listen to us. They heed us. They believe us. They don't cast us aside. They don't push us aside to promote other philosophies and teachings or other revelations. This is part of the discernment that God has given, is that he's given us discernment by pointing us to his word. And John points out, I'll just say this in a summary form for the sake of time, in addition to that source of truth in his word and in the Spirit, he's also given us the ability to detect false teachers and shown us how to detect them. You can know them by their lack of morality, the sinful lives that they live. You can know them by their fruits. You can know them in a social way by their lack of love for the brethren, for the lack of love of the people of Christ. And you can know them in doctrinal ways. When they deny Christ or try to distort the doctrine of Christ, you can say, false teacher, I know he may be smooth. I can't necessarily refute him in my own strength, the new Christian might say. But when you see a sinful man, when you see a man distorting the doctrine of Christ, when you see a man trying to introduce new revelation to the people of God, when you see him in a lack of love interacting among the body, you can say, that's a false teacher. I can walk away from him. God's given us what's necessary for discernment so that we can avoid those deceivers. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, beware of the false prophets. How did he say we'd know them? You'll know them by their fruit. Their fruit. And so God has given us what we need for discernment as well, to counteract the deception that the world brings. And finally, we said that the problem of the world was a problem of hatred, a problem of deception, and a problem of temptation. Well, beloved, let's cast this third and final aspect along these lines, that God gives the victory. God gives the victory. The provision of the Father is that he has already given us what is necessary for our spiritual victory. And just three key verses from the book of 1 John. I know we've covered a lot of territory today. That's all right. 1 John chapter 1, verse 4, God gives us joy. 1 John chapter 1, verse 4, these things we write so that our joy may be made complete. Can the world cast us down, discourage us with all of the adversity that comes? Yeah, but you know what? We find in Scripture, in the written Word of God, it says, the things that are necessary to make our joy complete. The adversity of the world is not the final story. It doesn't have the final say in the nature of your spiritual life when you go to God's Word. Secondly, the problem of temptation provided for in the atoning work of Christ, chapter 2, verse 1. He says, "My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin." Again, you see the written Word of God, how it promotes holiness in your life in addition to joy. This is why we preach the Word. This is why people change under the sound of the consistent preaching of the Word of God. It's because the Word has that sanctifying impact on them. When the Word of God is received within the context of a believing body of believers, there will be spiritual change because that is the power of the Word of God in the life of His people. Jesus said, "Sanctify them in the truth." What? Thy word is what? Say it. Truth. Sanctify them in the truth. Why do we preach the Word of God at Truth Community Church? Because it gives joy, because it sanctifies people who receive it with a believing, receptive heart. John said, we write these things. They're meant to be read. They're meant to be studied. He says in chapter 2, verse 1, I'm writing these things with an ultimate goal, with an ultimate goal for Christians just like you, my brother and sister in Christ, for Christians just like you to have a sense of confidence about where you stand with God. A sense of confidence that it is truly well with your soul. Look at chapter 5, verse 13. He says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." Assurance, joy, holiness, giving victory over the temptation that this world brings. So what does all of this mean, and what are the implications of this for your salvation, my Christian friends? It means that you can flourish, even in the midst of a hostile environment, even in the midst of isolation, even in the midst of discouragement, even in the midst of adversity of all the different forms that it brings. You can flourish with joy, with holiness, and assurance, even as the gale force winds of this world blow against your life. That is the provision, the completeness, the sufficiency of the provision that Christ made for your salvation when He offered up His life on the cross. When the Spirit drew you to Christ, when you put your faith in Him and the Spirit indwelt you, every one of you that are in Christ, not waiting for a second blessing where He might come later if you knock hard enough on the door. No, it's not like that. Jesus Christ has brought and given to us a complete salvation that enables you to have spiritual victory over a hostile world. So in light of these things, beloved, be strong, be courageous, be comforted, be encouraged. If need be, let the world pass away. Let goods and kindred go. This mortal life also, the body they may kill. God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever and ever and ever. Amen.
Be not afraid, dear friend, as Scripture assures us, he who is in us is stronger than he who is in the world. A great reminder from Pastor Don Green today on the Truth Pulpit. Don will have more from our series, A Satellite View of the Truth Pulpit, on our next broadcast, so plan now to be with us. And Don, you'll be taking us into the Psalms, a favorite of yours, no?
Well, it is a personal favorite of mine. As you're listening to us at home, I would just kind of share with you that we've been teaching through the Psalms, started at Psalm 1. We're going through all 150. We've been at it for a few years, and it'll take a few years more to get through that wonderful section of God's Word. But what's up ahead is a jet tour of the Psalms, an overview of the entire book of the Psalms, one of my favorite messages, and I'm looking forward to sharing it with you next time. In the meantime, this entire series, A Satellite View of the Truth Pulpit, is available to you for free. All you have to do is ask. Here is Bill to tell you where to find it.
Just visit thetruthpulpit.com for those free resources. And while you're there, you can also get all the details you need to plan a visit to Truth Community Church. We'd love to welcome you. So visit thetruthpulpit.com soon. I'm Bill Wright, and we'll see you back here next time on The Truth Pulpit.